Well, welcome back to Chapter 4, the Plain English Study Guide for the Amateur Radio Technician Class License. I'm Richard Clem, W0IS. You can find out more information about this course at my website, W0IS.com. And, of course, the book is available on Amazon. You just search for Clem Technician. It usually comes up as the first result. So, anyway, Chapter 4, we continue on where we talk about how radio waves propagate. How does your signal get from point A to point B? Well, we already talked a little bit about radio waves. We know that they have a frequency, they have a wavelength, and they're basically the same as light. They're the same as light waves. They are light waves with a much longer wavelength and or a much lower frequency. But they're really the same as light. They're just operating on a different frequency and wavelength. So they work just kind of like light. So if I'm standing outside with a flashlight, can you see the flashlight? Well, it depends on a couple of things. It depends on how far away you are, but more importantly, it depends on whether anything is in the way. So if I'm standing in Texas, waving my flashlight, and you are in California, well, you probably can't see my flashlight because the Earth, the curvature of the Earth gets in the way. But on the other hand, if I go up and climb to the top of some mountain and I shine my flashlight up there and point it at you, well, you can probably see it a few hundred miles away because we are within the line of sight. Well, in general, radio waves work pretty much the same way. Radio waves, especially in VHF and UHF, we'll talk about some other things in a little bit, but on VHF and UHF, the radio waves act based on the line of sight. So if you can see the other guy's radio, then you can talk to the other guy's radio. Now, radio waves do go through things a little bit more than light waves do. So if I'm standing inside my wooden house with my radio, I can still talk to you on your radio, even though I can't see the flashlight because the wooden house gets in the way. So radio waves do have some ability to penetrate objects, more so than light waves. But in general, they behave like light waves. So that's why you want your antenna up at a high location, because up at a high location, you can see farther away. The horizon is farther away, or the term that'll be used maybe on the test is the radio horizon. The radio horizon is as far as your radio can get out because it's as far as it can see, plus a little bit more because maybe you can go through that wooden house. But the radio horizon is pretty much the same as the regular horizon. It's as far as you can see with the naked eye. It's how far light waves can penetrate. So in general, that's how radio waves work. Now you stop and think to yourself, well, wait a minute. The reason I got into this, wanted to get into this amateur radio hobby, if I can only talk to somebody as far away as I can see them, well, then I would, just get a flashlight or wave at them or something. Radio waves have some ability to be reflected off of different things. So therefore, if you have some reflective object, well, your signals can bounce off of that. So in fact, I know some people who live near water towers. If you live near the water tower, they're down on the ground, but they point their antenna up at the water tower and it bounces off the water tower. They actually get out pretty well that way. But you still can't talk to China that way. Well, there is something that you can bounce your signals off that's floating around up in the sky like a giant mirror that's called the ionosphere. And up in the air, I don't know, 150 miles or so. You don't need to know exactly how far away it is on the test. There's a giant mirror floating in the sky. It doesn't reflect light waves, so you can't shine your flashlight at it and get it to reflect. But it does reflect radio waves. Therefore, it's up really high. Your signal can get out a long ways. So I can bounce my signals not off the water tower, but off of the ionosphere and really get out. Now, in general, the frequencies where the ionosphere works is the HF portion of the radio spectrum. In other words, the high frequency, in other words, 3 to 30 megahertz. So if you have a 2-meter handheld on 146 megahertz, that generally will not bounce off the ionosphere at all. So that's the fun of HF radio, because you can play with the ionosphere whenever you feel like it, bounce your signals off the sky and have them come down elsewhere on the planet. So that's a lot of fun. That's why amateur radio is such a fun hobby, or one of the reasons why, is because you can bounce your signals off that giant mirror up in the sky. Now, the general rule, things vary a little bit. That giant mirror up in the sky is not constantly there. Sometimes it kind of disappears. It is based upon a lot of factors, but the most common one is the sun. Energy from the sun is kind of what powers that giant mirror up in the sky. So you need to know that sunspots can affect it. So in general, if there are a lot of sunspots, then the higher frequencies work better. Also, the general thing that you need to know is that during the daytime, higher frequencies work better. So the 10-meter band, the 15-meter band, so whether it's 28 megahertz, 21 megahertz, they work best during the day because they're kind of a high frequency. Lower frequencies get out better at night. So the 80-meter band, 3.5 megahertz, and 40 meters, 7 megahertz, they get out better at night because they are lower frequencies and they are better nighttime bands. The two of the bands where you're allowed to use voice communication are 6 meters and 10 meters. The 28 megahertz band and the 50 megahertz band. It's kind of uncommon for the ionosphere to kick in too much on 6 meters. It does happen on 10 meters, but it's more common on either of those frequencies during the peak of the sunspot cycle. So if there are a lot of sunspots, then those higher frequencies, the 10 and the 6 meter bands, will get out better because of that. You need to know the names of some of the layers of the ionosphere. They start down at the Earth somewhere. You know, you get to the A layer, and the F layer is kind of up at the top. And the F layer of the ionosphere is what hams usually use to communicate, using the F layer. The layer right below that, sometimes that works on VHF, and that's called the E layer. But it doesn't work very often. It's very sporadic. So that kind of propagation on the 10, 6, and 2-meter bands is called sporadic E. So if you get a question on the test saying, what kind of communication can allow you to communicate hundreds of miles on the 10, 6, and 2-meter bands, the answer to that question will be sporadic E. And it's sporadic because it doesn't happen very often, and it's E because it's the E layer of the ionosphere, not the very highest one, but the next one down from the top. This whole phenomenon of signals bouncing off the ionosphere, that is called skip. The signal skips over the Earth and lands somewhere else. That is called skip. Now, can you talk to somebody, let's say, 100 miles away on 20 meters? Well, no, probably not, because depending on the frequency, somebody a medium distance away might be within the skip zone. They're too close for line of sight. They're too far away for line of sight, but they're too close for skip. So that means they are in the skip zone. Another factor that you need to know is I told you before that on local communication, the polarization of your antenna is very important, whether your antenna is vertical or horizontal. Well, when you're bouncing signals off the ionosphere, they get all skewed anyway. So the polarization is not very important for that. One thing you need to know is called multipath. Multipath just means that two signals are coming in at you from different directions, and that means they cancel out because maybe one One signal is bouncing off the water tower, and another signal is bouncing off some building, and they arrive just in such a way that they cancel out. That's called multipath. You can sometimes fix that just by moving a few feet. Another effect, when you're driving along, you hear a signal kind of clicking, kind of coming in and out really fast, as if you're walking along next to a picket fence with a stick. And it goes click, 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 click as you walk along. That effect is called picket fencing. So that's something that you need to know for the test. VHF and UHF generally is line of sight. You can talk as far as you can see, but there are some ways that that gets extended. The most common one is called tropospheric ducting. So on VHF, if you want to talk to somebody up to about 300 miles away, you might be able to do it by tropospheric ducting, which is often called by temperature inversions. Kind of trivia, your VHF signal might get out better in the winter because there's less vegetation. There might be a question about fog and rain, though, and fog and rain don't have much effect on 6 meters and 2 meters. A couple of other ways that VHF and UHF signals can get out farther than you can see. Sometimes they can be bounced off aurora, the northern lights. If there's aurora, you can bounce signals off of that. Oftentimes, when you have auroral conditions, the signal that received is very distorted. You need to know about knife edge propagation. If you're near a mountain range and there's a sharp edge at the top of the mountain, sometimes as your signal goes past the top of the mountain, it'll bend down slightly. So sometimes you can get a few extra miles. You can get over the mountain by kind of aiming your antenna toward the top of the ridge. Meteors. You can bounce signals off meteors as they come in. That's called meteor scatter. So anyway, that is everything that you need to know, or almost everything that you need to know to pass the test about how radio waves are propagated through the ether. In our next segment, Chapter 5, we'll talk about some of the equipment that you use to generate these radio waves. So again, if you're looking for more information about this course, be sure to check out my website at wzois.com.